by the Liberals re-elected last year.
What happened to the merry gang of pretend progressives' promise to restore human rights for the homeless at night? That they have joined forces with the police and the anti-homeless merchants who give us the sit-on-the-sidewalk-in-jail downtown ordinances should be a small clue that something has gone awry. If the purpose was to provide real relief for the 500 to 1,500 of the Santa Cruz's homeless from the fines, from the jail cell, from psychiatric grave disability lockup, from the troll buster's boot, from the bureaucratic overcrowded shelter system, then something has gone wrong. The task force to examine the camping ordinance took a hard look at the penalties no homeless people can pay, at the police state for the poor policy that shames us all, at the no room in the city philosophy that is driving out not merely the homeless, but small businesses and renters as well. It took a hard look and blinked, and scurried back underground again, afraid of its own shadow, but all the while proclaiming its good intentions and its good faith. Its recommendations are funny in a grotesque sort of way. No sleeping with blankets or sleeping bag between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. A sort of zombie jamboree proposal that suggests homeless people do a night of the living dead walkabout to avoid tickets. Permission for business owners to be able to use their own property to let two vehicles park there overnight with people inside. Permission for a renter to be able to park one vehicle in his own driveway with a sleeper inside. Cops could still wait, hassle, search, ID, and banish a homeless person for sleeping, but if it was winter and if the winter armory shelter were later shown to have been full, those tickets would then be dismissed. A red letter day for human dignity. Of course, for the next 8 months, when the armory is closed, if it ever reopens, there will be shelter space for less than 30 people starting March 15th, and no protection whatsoever against abusive police behavior. Sleep twice within 24 hours, and you get a misdemeanor punishable by up to 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine. This moves from the intolerable to the absurd. Then the fines. They will be lowered from $54 from $160 to 8 hours of community service to be the servitude time for doing whatever human being has to do at night. Are we supposed to be grateful for this ridiculous sellout to merchants and neighborhood bigots, still wed to the discredited myth that allowing people basic human rights will doom their businesses and sully their lawns? Why do I term the mayor's position of not decriminalizing sleep a bum basher one? Because it reduces to less than human the status of homeless people in Santa Cruz at night. Because she, a seasoned politico, knows that. Because she has the gall to claim that there is no, I repeat, no place for homeless people to sleep in Santa Cruz. There may be no place for Croats in Serbia. There may be no place for Democrats in China. But there damn well better be a place for poor people in Santa Cruz, whether this offends the nostrils of the well-heeled or not. Thank you.
Our last speaker. My name is Jim Cadden, and I'm born and homeless for about 3 months when I first moved here. A resident of 6 years now of Santa Cruz, and I have one statement to make, and that is that people who are homeless are not criminals, and that sleeping should not be a crime under any circumstances. Thank you. Now time for the council discussion. But before we begin, I want to particularly thank our staff, who Siobhan O'Neill and Jean Arner, who've worked so hard with
we'll avoid commending the staff for their good work. They worked so hard that they were able to bury the report for the last 3 years. It's taken me a month and a half, and I'm still not clear that we have access to the over 20 hearings that this city council made at a cost of thousands and thousands of dollars and the so-called task force to examine the camping ordinance back in 1998 in December and January and February of 1999. What you just heard is the February 23rd part of the public hearing before the Catherine Byers City Council, which eventually passed minor changes in the camping ordinance, lowering the fine to $54, allowing dismissal of tickets during the winter if the armory is shown to be full, making a maximum of 8 hours of community service for sleeping and blanket ban tickets, reducing it to an infraction, and allowing for a couple of additions like two vehicles in a business parking lot and one vehicle in a residential driveway for up to 72 hours per calendar month. With, of course, the new interpretation of the city attorney, that now suddenly there is a 72-hour limit on all backyards, side yards, business parking lots, and religious institutions as well. We learned that last week. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Bathrop's Pierre Robert Norse. You've been listening to history, and we specialize on this show in giving you sort of on the scene interviews from different folks. Went up to UCSC the other day and got this forthcoming interview. If you want to call in, if you have any comments on anything you've heard, we do have a line open. 427-3772 is the phone number. And we'll be on the air for another hour. So now's the chance for you to talk about any of this. And also, I think more important, talk about what we are going to do to change this. Some have talked about building a broader coalition. You heard Bernard Klitzner call in earlier, inviting people to come at 7 o'clock to 315 Mission to a coalition building session. I've invited people, of course, to come to my HUF meetings, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, every Wednesday at 8:30 in the morning at Baker Square. You can call for updates between shows at 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF, or 423-4833. And you can, of course, contact Larry Templeton and Camp Paradise and the Santa Cruz Service Corps at 423-8636, and they're interested in volunteers, as I understand it, and help in setting up a new campsite. That is something they've mentioned, and I haven't gotten a clear date on when and if that's actually going to happen. But I think they may be listening to this broadcast, and if they have any announcements to make, hey, they're welcome to call in and make it. Now's the time, because there are a number of people listening who are interested in this issue, both here and in other cities. We actually have learned that Dignity Village in Portland, Oregon, sometimes listens to our show when they can get to a radio, and a place, people in other places do too, as far away as Los Angeles and Missouri, if you can believe that. It's January 17, 2002. I'm up here by the Bay Tree Bookstore at about 1 o'clock on this finally sunny after a break in the rain Thursday. We're talking with
Angela Stecky.
Angela, you are one of the criminal UCSC students who sleeps in your vehicle.
Yeah, I know.
And how long have you been doing this?
Just since I started here this year.
And why do you do this? Is it a desire to flout the law and show what kind of your hostility toward your parents?
No, it's because my parents live really far away, and we couldn't afford for me to live on campus this year because it's too much money. And so sometimes when I have classes late and then I'll have a class or an appointment at the health center the next morning, then I'll just stay the night in my car because it's a long drive. So.
And how much would it cost you to live here if you didn't do that?
I think it's like anywhere between $14,000 and $16,000 because I'm in-state. And right now I'm paying $7,000 and then like $100 a month for gas. So it's really a lot cheaper. It's a lot easier because we can't really afford it at all.
What kind of, are you looking for a career out of this education, or you know what you're up to?
Yeah, I don't know what I want to do yet. I don't know what I'm majoring in, but I'm figuring, I have 2 years to figure it out, and I'm getting my gen eds done right now. And I'm thinking it's going to be, I might be a teacher. Something to do with math. I don't know. I want to do something that makes more money than we're making now so that I can send my kids to college. But
any other students you know that sleep in their vehicles or are homeless?
No. My friend Justin was going to, but then they found that it was illegal. They were just going to buy a big van and live in it. But it's illegal, so they couldn't.
Any hassles by police? And how many nights would you estimate you've slept outside here?
I don't know. Not a whole lot, but, I mean, a lot more than once a month or something like that. But I haven't been hassled by police because I'm really little, so I can just hide underneath my sleeping bag and you can't even see me.
Be on the lookout for a short woman hiding under, well, thank you very much, and encourage you to come to the first meeting of HUFF UCSC, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and give a call to Steve Weiss at 427-0270, who's forming that group, and or tune into Free Radio Santa Cruz, which has a show twice a week on the subject. I'll leave you that number, and thank you for talking with me. Anything you want to conclude with?
No.
Thanks. Now, Wynn, you recently were, 5 months ago, arrested for what? Driving a bicycle in an erratic fashion without a political slogan on your bicycle at the wrong time? What was the deal?
No, I definitely had a political slogan on my bicycle, but I guess it was more specifically the charges were riding outside of the bike lane on Mission Street. We all know there is no bike lane on Mission Street.
And this was in a critical mass protest shortly after the so-called war on terrorism that was declared after September 11th.
Yeah, it was the end of September.
And what's happened with those cases? You were charged. I know there was concerns about brutality by police and the arrest of a number of critical massers, seemingly kind of discriminating for their content of their protest.
Yeah, all the police involved were heavily reprimanded by their superiors.
Really? How do you know that happened?
We received a report from the police.
Do you have a copy of that?
No, not anymore.
Do you remember what it said?
Just that they had been reprimanded. Yeah.
Interesting, because we've never seen such a report on any officer ever in my 12 years here that officers have been reprimanded. Do you know who signed the report?
I think it was the chief, but I'm not sure.
Chief Belcher is the chief. What about the court cases against you?
I'm still paying off my $350 fine, and a few other people managed to get community service because they didn't go through with referee Mulligan. They went for a higher-up judge.
Was that a good decision or a bad decision?
On their part, very good decision. On my part, I should have stuck it through.
Should we say disqualified meat grinder Mulligan?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, thank you. Feel free to call in. We'll be playing this on Free Radio Thursday tonight.
Hold on.
Thanks. Well, it's about 3 o'clock on January 19th. We're in front of Pete's Coffee. And we have a man leaning against the bicycle rack, cross-legged on the street with a sign, out of work, need job, anything helps in the meantime, please, I need some help, thank you. Applications are in, sent resumes. How's the take?
Well, it's been really slow lately, and it's not much help as far as people are, they're not kicking down really a lot right now. And like I said, it's just been real slow.
How many hours a day would you estimate you sit here? Like, say, today, how many hours have you been here?
I get here about 8 o'clock in the morning, and I stay till 8 at night every day.
Yeah. If you were to add up all your earnings in the last couple of days, what does it average out to be?
I've averaged maybe $8.
Per day?
Per day.
So that's about less than $1 an hour if you're here 12 hours a day.
Yeah, exactly.
So, in a way, it's kind of hard work. I mean, it's kind of cold there. You're not physically doing anything, but you are maintaining a high-profile presence. Do you get much in the way of either positive or negative comment from people?
With my sign, nobody gives me a negative comment. In fact, I get more positive because they see it as not asking for food or stuff like that. They see that I'm trying to do something positive by asking for work. But I haven't had anybody come up and say, hey, I'll give you a job.
Nobody's offered a job.
Not at all.
You look pretty clean cut. You look like you've, your fingernails are as dirty as mine are, but that's not saying much. You know, you look, your beard is certainly neater than mine. What kind of work do you do when you're working?
I do construction work mostly. I work in the music field and I cook too, so.
How long you been living in Santa Cruz?
About 10 and a half years, 11 years.
So you're one of these out-of-town transients that's been causing trouble, and here you are sitting on the streets, right?
Yeah, I grew up in the area, though. I used to come over here. I got my Eagle Scout over here. We used to come to Santa Cruz for summer all the time. I grew up in Mission San Jose, so it wasn't that far away from here.
What do you do at night for sleeping?
I sleep at the Elm Street Mission.
And how long have you been doing that?
About 2 months now. I can't stand the shelter. They're crazy there. They put you through too much, and the armory is way too, it's out of hand now with all the security measures they have there.
Tell me a little bit about the armory. You been up there?
Yeah, I went one night, and they searched everything, went through our bags, they put a wand over us, they felt our pockets, they made a show ID.
Were you able to sneak in that terrorist AK-47?
Yeah, there's no way. They searched us way too well.
How's Elm Street treating you? Is there a religious requirement there?
Well, yeah, but it's not anything that I don't or can't handle.
And what time do you have to be in and what time do you have to be out?
We have to be in by 9:30 and out by 8 o'clock in the morning.
And what about, what do you do for meals? Are you, making $8 a day is not really going to, I guess if you had peanut butter and bread someplace to store it, you could have sandwiches, but how do you deal with the food situation?
Well, right now they feed us twice a day at Elm Street, so that's how I'm surviving on food, basically. Basically, the $8 a day, my daughter was in an accident, and I've been saving my money and sending it up there for to help cover costs they're having, the family's incurring over that.
Did you have a room here at one time?
Yeah, I've lived in houses here, and I've not been homeless the whole time I've been here.
And when was the last time you were indoors in that way?
Probably 6 months ago.
And how did you lose that lodger?
My boss was diagnosed with cancer and told to take a hiatus from work, and so...
What kind of work did he do?
I was doing construction at the time.
Right. And how much were you paying by the month for that?
I was paying about $450 a month.
And what's your situation now? I mean, what's it going to require to let you get back into housing somewhere? And why don't you move to Fresno?
I don't like Fresno. It's way too hot. And it requires a lot to really get in a place if you want to get in a place of your own. I mean, you're talking $1,500 to get in a place on your own now with first and deposit or last, whatever they want to call it. I can't foresee really doing that. I love Santa Cruz. I can't see being kicked out of here because they don't want to give me a job here or they don't pay us enough to get us into a place. So I think they need to get some lower rent housing and take care of some of the needs of some of us folks that like the area just as much as the rich people.
Now, you've heard perhaps about the Sushi Now Alibaba's Cafe privatizing the sidewalk up there near New Leaf?
Yes, I have.
Any thoughts on that issue?
I think they're getting way out of hand. We have as right to the sidewalk as they do, and to privatize it is, we're going into Russian thinking here, you know, communistic views. It's not fair to us. We have just as much right to be on this street no matter what. We do have a constitution that guarantees our rights, and they're trying to take them away.
How do... Do you have much contact with other folks who are out on the streets? Say that. A quick pause here. Your name, sir?
Ooh, James.
What happened at the corner?
Like six or seven cops came up there messing with people and straight fighting. It was crazy, dude.
What time did that happen?
I'm not exactly sure what time it was, but I know
8:30.
It was late.
8:30.
You were there as well?
Yeah, I saw the incident happening there.
And what did you guys see? What happened? Who wants to discuss
it? The cops were just basically harassing us, dude, and Free, the guy with the radio, Free started yelling and shit, and next day everybody started yelling, and like, I was fucking, the cops were kept, like, looking at me, and they were taking pictures and wanting, asking everybody, oh, we heard you guys been selling illegal drugs out here, who's willing to voluntary search, and woo-doo-woo-doo. And I was like, well, I'm leaving right now, if you want to search me, search me. And then they were like, no, you have a good day, sir. And
they were just searching. Wanted you to leave, huh?
Yeah, they and now they got some music, they were yelling at me about my radio, but yet they could put a speaker right above us and play this classical shit all day that annoys us. You know, it's all little bullshit government games, and it's getting old. That's why I'm leaving this town.
Were they able to successfully drive people away from the corner?
No, we drove them away. They left. They left because they knew they had a bunch of aggro kids, and plus it was getting videotaped because there was somebody walking by that had a camera and just turned it on out of nowhere. It was videotaping everything. So they just left. They all got in their cars and left.
I'd like you to take a look at a petition I'm circulating. And what were your name again is?
Gregory.
And what was your impression of what happened?
Well, they did. They were harassing the kids straight out. They came up and played their Nazi little games and started getting the kids to search them and were pretty rude towards them.
Was there any particular illegal or inappropriate behavior from the crowd that you noticed?
Not at the beginning. As it went on, the kids started talking back, but Free, he's a devout Christian, and his music is nothing but Christian music. He espouses Christian views, and they started harassing him really hard. And they're getting way out of hand with this.
Seem to be a lot of people with signs on the avenue seeking, you know, money for, well, survival behavior. Is it increased in the last few months? Is it decreased? What's your sense?
It's increased a lot lately. There's a lot more homeless now, and a lot more people can't find jobs. Nobody wants to hire us homeless people. They don't even want to give us a chance.
Well, why don't you go to Labor Ready and hang out there?
I did Labor Ready for about 3 months, and they have their little clientele clique that they have, and if you don't have a car, you're not going out to work.
What about San Lorenzo Lumber? Why don't you hang out there?
I've done that for months and months and months at a time and never gotten out of there. They hire mostly the Mexicans that are, most of them don't even have a green card to stand there, and they get hired before because they'll work cheaper than we will.
What would you require? Let's suppose somebody out there wants to hire you, is listening to Free Radio. What kind of work do you do? How much would you want, and where can you be reached?
Well, I would like at least $8 to $10 an hour. I'd do basically any kind of manual labor or any kind of labor, really. I'm pretty well versed at anything, and I can be reached at Elm Street Mission. My name is Greg Wade.
Again, your last name is?
Wade.
Thank you very much, Greg. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you very much.
In front of the Del Mar, and here's a man with visions of a hamburger, a famous sign. Did you get the idea for this sign, or did you steal it? What's the truth?
I actually got the idea for this sign.
And when did you create...
And it's actually not in front of the Del Mar, it's in front of the Cinema 9. A little correction here. We also have, let's hear a little bit more of this tape.
That sign.
It's been probably about 3 years ago.
Yeah. How many hamburgers have you been able to purchase as a consequence of your work with this sign?
Quite a few.
You don't look too chunky.
I'm sick, so...
No. So how are you? Illness is... Are you homeless yourself?
Yes.
And what's the situation for you when you get... What kind of an illness have you got?
I prefer not to talk about my illness, actually.
No problem. But when a person gets sick on the street, can you describe the kinds of problems they face generally? I mean, that you wouldn't face, let's say, if you were in a house that most of us might not be aware of?
No place to rest, actually.
So if you fall asleep somewhere, you're afraid the police are going to wake you up and tell you to move on?
Oh, yeah.
And have you been hassled where you're sleeping at night?
Right now I'm not, but before, yes, quite often.
And are you inside or outside the city?
I'm inside the city.
And are you alone or with somebody else?
I'm alone.
And is that preferable for you, or is that something that you're forced into?
It's preferable for me, actually.
So if there's a corpse, we're not going to find it for a while?
Probably not.
Anything else you want to say for Free Radio?
Not today.
Appreciate your patience.
Thanks.
Well, it looks like Hobo Row here. Here's another man with a sign, disabled homeless.
The gauntlet, you mean? The gauntlet.
Yes. Please, anything helps.
Yeah, the old phrase, help.
Aren't you the infamous Steve Elliott who has litigated the authorities here to a standstill as they tried to remove you and your sign?
Yeah, they tried, but I'm standing pat. Here I am.
You went to court twice, as I understand, in Commissioner Joseph's court, and you beat back officers Perry and I guess... Who was the other officer, Sergeant Baker?
Mr. Baker. It's
Officer
sad,
Baker.
Said how they have to waste the taxpayers' money like that. They knew I wasn't guilty. They were just harassing me for my sign.
And what have you found? That was last summer.
Yeah,
I actually mentioned you on a flyer as an individual who stood up for himself when we distributed this Meanest Cities press conference literature up in San Francisco about a week ago.
I was on a flyer?
You were on a flyer, man. You better watch out. Your name is appearing all over the place.
About that.
Have you suffered any harassment here on the street in the last couple weeks?
No, actually, they know that I'm not causing no trouble, and I'm out visible, so I'm not causing any trouble. I'm not ripping nobody off. I'm religious. I'm happy that I'm being able to make it until things change for me. But
where do you sleep at night?
In my car.
That's illegal, I want to tell you.
Uh-oh.
Now, you know, and if you're going to be engaged in this kind of criminal behavior, I may have to, should we say, inform the appropriate authorities.
Okay. Well, bring a blanket or a pillow or something for me.
There's a no loitering sign. Aren't you just loitering around here?
Yeah, but that's over there. I'm over here.
Oh, I see. Actually, there is a federal laws against loitering have been thrown out anyway. That sign, it means absolutely nothing.
Loitering means standing around. I've been shifting my feet left and right.
Pretty shifty. You
know? Yeah, real shifty.
How's the business today? How much have you made?
About $4.
in how many hours?
Let me dig. I've been here since 10:30. This is all I've made.
So it's about 3:15. That's 5 hours. How much again?
About $5. Yeah, I would say
$1 an hour.
Since Christmas, people aren't as generous anymore. I guess they figure
one-seventh of the minimum wage.
Go back to being a regular bum. You know, Christmas time, everybody gets all feeling good.
Bank robbery pay better.
No, man, I'm not a crook.
Well, you can't compete with the big crooks.
If you don't want to help me, then you can pass by, which many, 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 many people have done.
Well, they have places to go, people to meet. You know, what's your problem, man?
I don't know. It's a lot of people one paycheck from being broke.
I'm $5 movies.
I'm one paycheck.
$8 movies.
I'm one paycheck from a paycheck.
You're well put, Mr. Smart Pants.
Yeah. Well, if it wasn't for my back, I mean, I wasn't feeling so crummy and wasn't taking drugs all the time for the back pain, I'd probably be able to do some kind of a labor. But anything heavier, twisting and turning, and it just gets to me. I gotta stand and walk, sit, and it's constant. So I mean, I'm hurting all the time now. So my legs hurt really bad. So
now, what do the little babies think of you as they pass by?
Oh man, they're about the only ones that give. You know, give a little smile. I'm
they
happy.
Give you a smile, or maybe they
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it says anything helps. I mean, some people walk by, they won't even drop a penny.
I put a tape recorder in your face.
Yeah.
That's something.
You know what that is?
That's a tape recorder.
Oh, I thought it was a bar.
Well, thank you, Steve Elliott. Any final words for our your sympathizers and your opponents out there?
Yes, you can find me down here. If you want to come down and give me some help, I'm right in front of the movie theater across over at the Cooper House. All I can say is, help!
Pay no attention to this man. He's just looking for money. And we're here at the corner of Church and Pacific, and that instrument you hear, which I don't recognize, is being played right outside Rittenhouse's Hole, the empty lot downtown that was being considered for a plaza, but is currently just a hole in the ground. And this man is playing some music, and people are passing by. They're smiling, but they don't seem to be coughing up any money. Exception of yours truly, of course. And I may give you a little musical here. The interesting thing is this man is not playing a xylophone. This is simply the concave surface a metallic half globe, which he is drumming music out of. It doesn't seem to have any keyboard, but in some way, he's creating the melodies you're hearing, even as I babble at you. So he's prompting a few smiles, but the wallets are in the pockets. I don't know what to say, man. Anyway, come on down to Church and Pacific and take a look. He may still be there when you check him out. This is Saturday. Who knows? He may show up on Sunday. So, your name, sir?
My name is Kenneth Christian from Trinidad and Tobago, but from where steel drum come from.
And what kind of instrument are you playing?
Yeah, I'm playing a steel drum from Trinidad and Tobago. A steel drum from Trinidad and Tobago. Made from a drum.
And how long have you been doing this kind of musical
work? Oh, I've been playing over 20 years now. I make my own drums too.
Wow, so you made this instrument?
Yeah, I make my own instrument.
And I have never seen, and again, we call this a steel drum?
Yeah, because
it's... Does it have a fancier name?
No, it's a steel drum.
Steel drum. Now, how can people reach you if they want to...
Well, I'm looking for a place to work. My number is 1-831-428-7376, and I'm looking for a place to work, and to mix my own steel drums.
Say it again, the number.
My number is 1-831-428-7376. And my name is Kenneth Christian. I'm looking for a garage or somewhere to work. I'm from Boston. I would like somebody to help me. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Kenneth.
Yeah, thank you.
A little social significance coming up here.
What a cracking down on everybody but the crackheads. And then everybody wants to make a difference is put in jail. And all I know is money will buy you out of anything, and what it can't buy you out of is war.
Your name, sir?
Richard Sangelier.
We're here on the corner of
Pacific and
Pacific East meets West. Sounds like a cartoon character.
Why, thank you.
Now, I noticed.
I have a cartoon character.
Well, you've made a few bucks today. What are you making by the hour, would you average?
75 cents.
That's about the average on the street so far. Yeah, 75 cents to a dollar. How many hours have you been out here?
Today I came out at 11.
And are you outside or inside, as far as sleeping goes?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Any, depending upon my luck. Any hassles from police when you sleep outside?
No, I'm pretty wily.
Wily coyote?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything you've observed on the street in terms of the street scene you want to point out to the free radio listeners?
Yeah, there's been a change in the street policies. They've been pushing the street musicians around. A flute player got arrested yesterday.
For what?
Playing flute.
And where was he arrested?
He was arrested right in front of the old Cooper building, which is now the new Cooper building.
And do you know who arrested him?
A police officer. I know one of them was Dan Flippo.
And was Sergeant Baker involved in this? Chunky sergeant who occasionally runs the mall?
Possibly.
Yeah. Slightly balding fellow.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Trying to put him down. I'm pretty chunky myself, and physical appearance
means
nothing.
So.
Yeah, but you got nice sideburns, let's look at it that way.
Yeah, I got to make it up.
So when did this all happen?
It happened yesterday at about maybe 2 in the afternoon.
Do we know? Were you watching?
Yeah, I heard about it, and I saw a little bit of it.
What did you see, and what did you hear?
I saw that they approached him. They said, okay, we told you before, so now we're going to have to take you to jail. So they brought him to the
department. Did they say what they were arresting him for?
Well, they'd asked him not to play there before, and they've asked him to stay 10 feet away from all walls, which is impossible if you're going to be... You can't be in the middle of the sidewalk, but you can't be 10 feet away from the wall. The sidewalks are only 15 feet wide. It doesn't leave you any room.
Where was he standing when he was arrested?
Right there.
You're pointing to...
Alcove, the small alcove of the old, of the new Cooper house.
And did they say there was a complaint, or they were doing this on their own?
Well, the owner there, yeah, he complains. Pretty much it's owner-based. If you, they don't mess with you unless the owner doesn't like you. So
it didn't seem to be a police directive from the chief or anything.
Well, it is, but the police officers have actually been pretty cool about it. They've never messed with me. But it's the owners of these buildings who keep calling them up and forcing them into these positions, you know.
So he was taken to jail and his flute was confiscated?
No, he gave it to his friend to make sure it wasn't confiscated. But once he got to jail, they just made him sign a ticket and then let him go.
Did he give an indication of what the bail on that ticket is? What did he have to pay to avoid a whole court process and a potential warrant?
Yes, $1.50. $150.
$150
And actually, to tell you the truth, he's right there.
When he's off the phone, you may as well get the...
I don't know if I want to consort with these musical criminals. They might sing me to death.
Yeah, exactly. That's the worst they can do. But most of us are very harmless.
It's pretty heavy. I mean, you've got to provide for appropriate merchant process here on the avenue. What do you think of this proposal to privatize Hippie Planter near the New Leaf Market?
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. The town's changing. If we don't work fast, it's going to turn into San Francisco or Carmel.
So you favor this change or you oppose it?
I'm not quite sure as to what it's going to do. But I know any change at this point is probably for the worse, because it's not getting any better. So,
wow. Your name again?
Richard Sangelier.
And Richard, how long you been in Santa Cruz?
Since right before Halloween.
So. And where are you from?
Outer space.
Welcome to this part of the Earth.
Oh, no problem.
Good to meet you. We're talking to...
Ari. Ari Balak. Ari K. Diaz.
And you are a man who plays the flute?
Yeah, I'm a flute player.
You're whipping out a yellow ticket here, which you got... when did you get this ticket?
Yesterday. I got handcuffed and thrown down on the ground.
So,
and I wouldn't sign the ticket.
And who did this to you? Do you know the name of the officer?
The guy that started was the light blue shirt. The big guy in the light blue shirt. There's only one guy in the light blue shirt.
Can you to catch his name and see what he signed it. It looks like
the other officer probably signed it.
It's some other scribble badge. 439. It looks like Pacific and Cooper.
Yeah.
Trespassing within 10 feet of the door and disobeying an order. What order did they claim you disobeyed?
They said they were going to give me a ticket. I said, I don't need a ticket. I'll just leave. It's no problem. And then they said, no, we warned you before not to play in the alcove. And I said, but that's where the flute sounds good. Everybody likes the flute. You know, everybody, people, not just the money, but most people say thank you and are really like the flute. I mean, store owners, business people normally who don't like street musicians, I can tell they like flute music, and they like me. I'm gentleman. And then,
and what alcove were you playing?
The first one at Cooper House, the small one at Cooper House.
And it looks like a 130 ticket, and it's dated the 18th, which is yesterday.
Yeah.
Do you know if somebody complained?
No one complained. They said they warned me the day before. Yeah, they warned me to not play in the alcoves. But they didn't really explain much. They just said, you can't play here. And I said, yeah, but they said there's a standing order now from Cooper House. It only started a week ago. Up till a week ago, they didn't bother anybody standing there.
And that's Harry the flutist, or flautist, if you will, flouting the laws, the new policies of the police department and the Cooper House businesses. They apparently want to, again, preempt the sidewalks. I'm talking about the spaces that border the sidewalk. People are not going to... There's no blockage happening. Their businesses are closed at the moment. They're still being hassling street musicians, same as that. Although it's not quite clear that business was closed. Although we've seen numerous other tickets, like up by Alibaba's Cafe, where people simply sitting after giving tickets in place. By order of the business, and by apparently the new policy of the police department, or the same old policy of the police department. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Inviting you to join the boycott of Sushi Now and Alibaba's Cafe until such time as those businesses agree to meaningfully negotiate with the community and people who are using the public spaces around them, not illegally doing so, so that they will not privatize the area in front of the newly planted to remove the folks who are there, which is what their plan is, unless the community does something. If you want more information about this boycott, you can come down today. I'm going to be down there at the Hippie Planter, as some people call it, starting probably around 1:45 or so, cabling, encouraging people to express their feelings and concerns, and encouraging people not to patronize these cafes, as long as they continue this essentially anti-homeless, anti-hippie policy. We have an incoming call.
It is. Is this Jack Tafari?
This is the one, Jack Tafari, from Portland, Oregon.
My goodness, a long-distance call. Have you been listening to us, or have you not been near a radio computer?
I've been taking people through Dignity Village this morning, including a delegation that came down from the village on Seattle.
Now, 1073?
Yeah, 1073 up in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not quite sure what the discussion is down there this morning.
Well, you can make your own agenda. We're talking about the privatization of sidewalks, where they're trying to hustle folks off the sidewalk. A young, youth hippie scene here. We're talking about Camp Paradise.
No, that's interesting, because the same thing is happening up here.
Mm.
In Portland, they have a thing called Title 14, and it's about loitering, and it's about not sitting or lying down on sidewalks. And what they're doing with this Title 14, they try to clip it through when nobody's looking, you know, when people came through after Christmas. But it's an interesting piece of legislation. It's completely out of process because they don't want anyone to discuss it on city council or the public to know what they're doing. But the effect of this law is that they will double the poor people tax. They'll double fines and sentences for things like being excluded, you know? There'll be no, the policeman will be able to say, I don't like your face, so leave the place for 9 days, because he doesn't like your face. There's no court, there's nothing like that. They're talking about extending police powers so that universities can have the same power as police. They're talking about things like everyone in the city has to have a permit carry a sealed bottle of wine in a public place like a park, but that will be selectively enforced, and that will fall on poor people, on homeless people, not on rich people, not on housed people. And they're talking about things like, who enjoys a bus bench more? You know, which side of the public enjoys it more? Because they can come and throw you off of the bus bench if they don't like the way you look. For example, if you look poor or if you look homeless, you know. If you look like a rich guy, you know, a legitimate person, a legitimate human being, then it's okay. If you look housed, that's all right, you know. But what if you are housed, and what if you're dirty because you're coming home from work and you're all dirty and you're sitting on a bus bench, and then you might get lumped in with people who aren't working.
Yeah, you might be mistaken for one of the Jews and taken off, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, they came for them first, I thought.
Hmm.
I thought they came for them first, but nobody said anything.
You know, some people find that kind of analogy that I just made offensive. So when I use the word fascist at city council, or I give the Nazi salute indicating I think they're being repressive in their discussion or legislation, I've actually been evicted from the chambers or threatened with eviction for doing that. How does your Portland City Council, which as I understand it, legalized Dignity Village, but now apparently is looking into this repressive Title 14, how do they treat homeless people at city council, or do homeless people bother to show up there?
Well, they're kind of politicians, and you know how politicians are. You know, they flip and they flop like fish, basically. They flip and they flop, you know. So they kind of talk out of two sides of their mouth. I understand down in Santa Cruz you had a guy who was the mayor whose name was Tim Fitzmaurice.
That's the one.
I understand he's gone now, but I don't see anything wrong with, you know, giving him a high. You know what I mean?
Well,
like I'll fit.
Unfortunately, he's not gone. He's no longer the mayor, but he still sits on the city council.
Oh, I see. Well, then it's probably entirely appropriate to go in and give a bit of Sieg Heiling.
Yeah, well,
Santa Cruz in the city council.
Well, I think that we need more of that kind of thing, provided, of course, it doesn't disrupt business as usual. We wouldn't want to do that, you know.
Pardon me?
Well, I'm being sarcastic. I'm saying that the city council's business here, and I imagine probably up in Portland, is essentially concerned with the interests of the few and doesn't have much to do with the needs of the many, or at least the needs of the poor.
Oh, yes. Well, they have to work with, you know, people that are into development. Do you know what I mean? To develop things. You know, like to gentrify and to nice it up for the few. Then we can have these sort of like nice white shopping malls and things where happy shoppers can march in unison to their shopping with lots of police around, you know, if we have gentrification taking over the place, you know,
well,
like it is.
Well, we
like
have to be protected, Jack, from terrorism at all costs, yeah.
Oh, yes, I know. Who do you mean, like the police?
Well, no. The police are our friends, don't you know?
Well,
you know, here.
That's what I thought.
Here in Santa Cruz, I guess probably the folks at Camp Paradise, the Santa Cruz Service Corps, may be listening to this conversation. I understand from talking to Larry Templeton last night that Dignity Village and Camp Paradise are going to be exchanging delegates or residents or something like that?
Oh, yes. We would love to link up with Tent Village 3. That's why we're talking to people from there, up and down the coast, because we think we have a better chance, you know, a better chance to protect and defend ourselves as poor people if we link up. So I want to say much love to Larry Templeton and to Pam Isla and to Tom and to all of the people down there in Paradise, all of your people down in the Santa Cruz Service Corps.
That's the ones.
Are
you actually
building down there? To Carl Wilson and to all the good people down there who are working so hard. And I want to say big love and big respect, and I want to say Viva Paradise, and I want to say Viva Dignity, and I want to say Viva Tent City 3, Tent Village 3 in Seattle. I want to say that, you know, to all the people up and down, all the poor people who are struggling.
Have you heard anything?
Trying to make a difference.
Jack, have you heard anything from Camp Goodwill in Toronto or from anybody up in British Columbia?
No, we're trying to break through to them, and also to some people in Osaka in Japan, because we're looking for linkage right across the country and right across the continent and right around the hemisphere and maybe a little bit beyond that. you know.
Wow, and is it true that you're going to be exchanging delegates here with the Camp Paradise folks? They're going to be going up to check out Dignity Village in Portland, Oregon, and you're going to be sending some folks down from Portland to Santa Cruz?
Yeah, like that. You know, one of our crew, one of our officers of our corporation, we've incorporated here. You know, we're a legal entity now pursuing our lawful business.
Mm-hmm.
And we've incorporated just to get a bit more clout because people obviously don't seem to matter. Maybe corporations do.
Oh, corporations.
You know, we'll have more credibility and more power. But the sergeant-at-arms of one of the officers,
mm-hmm.
Is coming down. Watchdog.
Wow.
The Watchdog has a car and everything.
So watch out for Watchdog.
Watch out for Watchdog, because Watchdog is coming down. And Watchdog can pick up some of the crew down there and bring them up to see us up here. And we can have cultural exchanges for our mutual benefits.
Maybe sister villages.
Yeah, like that. That's what we'd like to do. We'd like to twin up with our brothers and sisters in Paradise. We'd like to twin up with them. And this is on the agenda for our next council meeting. And that's on Wednesday coming up.
Now, that's the council at Dignity Village, not at Portland, Oregon. It's city council, right?
Wait, pardon me? I can't hear you, Rob.
That's at the Dignity Village's council, not at the city council of Portland, Oregon.
No, not the city council. I think the city council might object or something.
Let me ask you this. In Santa Cruz, we recently had a necessity case of the Camp Paradise people where the